Let's try that again. Good morning. There we go. Good gracious, you would think y'all were here for early service or something. Kind of sleepy sounding. This morning we conclude our study in the book of Hebrews. There has been one thought consistent throughout this book. That is, Jesus is better. He is more than enough for us who are imperfect, I can say that, prone to wander. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, that's me. Stumble. And nevertheless, if we put our trust in the promises of Jesus and our lives is in His hands, it is better. In Him we have a better covenant, a better sacrifice. Through His blood He has provided for us the hope of eternal life. That if I believe in Jesus, that I might spend eternity with God Himself forever. The entire 13th chapter is like a benediction to everything that has been said throughout this book. It starts with the idea of this is how you live to inherit the kingdom. And then he moves into this idea of you are to serve. And he begins to talk to them about what God has done for them. In other words, how he has equipped them to serve going forward. And this is a profound thought for us. We don't read the Bible. We don't do preach a series on the book of Hebrews for people just to go, well, now I know. The whole idea here is that we hear the word, that we are changed, and that we begin to serve. So this morning, I want us to look at this benediction, this prayer. It's only going to be two verses. And see how God has equipped us, the same as He did to Hebrews. Because see, this letter is written to people that are scattered to and fro. And their culture is crushing them. And I can't think of a more applicable idea here, because guess what? If you're a Christian in our culture, you're kind of weird. You stand out. The culture is what? Against you. And so we need some encouragement. It helps me to know what God has put into me and how He has equipped me to serve. I have had the opportunity to be a chaplain for the high school football team here at Villarica for several years. And many years ago, they were playing, and they were way up on the team. And so they're putting some kids in that never get to play. Young kids. So they're putting this young man in. He's a freshman to play in a varsity game. And he is like beside himself. And he's standing there beside what is his position coach. And his position coach says, hey, the next series, you're going in. And I'm standing there behind them, and if you think I move around and kind of do a lot when I'm talking, you ain't seen nothing. This kid was about to come unglued. So he gets ready for him to go in, and the coach says, okay, go. Well, he gets about halfway out to the huddle, and he figures out he's forgot something. Guess what it was? His helmet. And he comes running back to the side. And there's this other kid that plays all the time. He was a really big kid. He pops off his helmet real quick to give to this other guy because he don't want him to miss his chance to play. Well, there's a problem. The kid puts the helmet on and you can almost spin it completely around. Like this little kid can look out the ear hole, you know what I mean? So they take him out, run another kid in. He finally finds his helmet and gets him back in. But it makes sense to us that you would not put a kid in a game without a helmet. Why? Because if he does, what's going to happen? It's going to get his brains knocked out probably, right? He's not equipped. He's not ready to play. And what the Hebrew writer does in the passage we're going to look at this morning is he says, look, this is how you're equipped to play. This is this is what's been given to you to do this game, to share the gospel of Jesus. So look at verses 20 and 21, and I want to break these down. We're going to kind of break 20 all apart. It says this, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he says, look, this is a prayer actually by the Hebrew writer for these people. And he says, look, now may the God of peace. What the Hebrew writer is saying here is that God is the source of our peace. And we need peace as we deal with our society. Anybody here think their society is crazy? Yeah. And you know what's amazing to me is, like, I had somebody, they came up to me and they were just like aghast. You know, this election thing, I don't think I've ever seen in all my years people so fanatic about this. And the guy, this man was talking to me and he goes, well, what do you think? And blah, 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 blah. And you know, if the wrong person gets elected, you know what's going to happen to this country. In fact, the whole world, it's going to end. And I said, no, don't believe that. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I've been reading in this book that this world ends when Jesus comes back. And until then, it's not going to end. And he says, well, you don't care about the election? And I said, I have some interest. But this election is not going to dictate my world. And you could just look at this man's face and he's like, he finally looked at me and goes, how do you get like that? See, it's this peace. And we can't have peace apart from God. God is the source of peace. If we want to have peace, we have to turn to God. No matter what our circumstances. You know what? A better job won't give you peace. Anybody here ever got a new job, a raise, went about 3 or 4 months and went, I still got the same problems. Guess what? Not only your husband or your wife cannot give you peace. Your children can't give you peace. Your grandchildren can't give you peace. There's nothing in this world that will give you peace. It only comes from God. Because see, outside of Him, there is no peace. I am designed by Him. My soul is at peace with Him through Jesus. And without my soul being right with Him, I can never have peace. There's always this underlying thing that goes, you know what? It's just not quite right. And when we allow God into our life through Jesus, guess what? He plants in us that idea that I am okay with Him. There's this seed of peace. And the more we allow God to work within us, the more we grow that relationship, the more peace we have. Jesus talks about this idea of us getting peace from Him and that it being different from what the world offers. Listen to what He says in John 14, 27. Jesus is comforting His disciples here and He tells them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. In other words, this is a different peace. It's not the peace that the world offers. He says, my peace I give you. What is His peace? His peace is that He is perfectly obedient to the Father. In other words, He and God are in perfect unison. He is completely obedient. He says, I give this peace to you. I pass on this idea. I do not give to you as the world gives. This is a different peace than the world offers. This is what's planted in us that equips us to do ministry in the world. See, the whole purpose of the book is to prepare. The whole purpose of the book, what a tongue is not working this morning. The whole purpose of the book is to prepare these folks for service. And the Hebrew writer wants them to realize what God has done. And He gives them this peace. Jesus again says this in John 16. He says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world, you'll have trouble. You need to understand, it's not going to be easy. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We have peace because God has victory. He has planted that in our heart. I don't think there's a more powerful statement that the church can make into this culture than to be of peace. The Hebrew writer goes on to say in verse 20, that who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. God is a God of peace, but He is also a God of resurrection and power. He raised Jesus from the dead. Not only do I have a God, I have a God of peace, not only can I be at peace with God, but I understand that there is power in my God to do what nothing else in this world can do, and that is to raise people from the dead. It's exactly what God did with Jesus. He was in the tomb, God busted open the tomb, breathed life into Him, and He gets up and walks out. And folks, that is something to behold. And if there's something to tell our culture, it is that there is power in our God. It's funny to me how different men and women feel about power. Carol and I were in the car the other day, and like, there's the new Dodge Chargers. They're pretty amazing. And this guy pulled up beside us, and he, like, I got the window down, and this thing, it's obvious. I mean, and I'm like, I'm in my man mood, and I'm just like, I'm vibrating in the seat looking at this thing, you know what I mean? But I'm moved by power. Carol thinks of it all together. She's like, oh, that thing's too loud. You know, and I'm thinking, Carol, listen. Baby, listen. And, you know, she thinks about power in a whole different idea. But the idea here is this power from the resurrection, it stretches across to everybody. It's good for me, it's good for her, and it's good for you. Jesus rose from the dead. Romans 4:25 says this, He was delivered over to death, that's Jesus, for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. That's what's in me through Christ. It's the hope of a resurrection, that I might stand before God justified. What that means, as if my sins never happened. Folks, we need to understand that we have a God of peace and a God of resurrection and life. There is peace and power in us through God. We have something to share. The idea is to get up and get going. Not to sit. Folks, this is a very different way to look at a relationship with God from the Western church, the church that we grew. Because what do we value in church for the whole? Attendance. You know, we want you just to come. It's enough if you just come. Folks, the Hebrew writer here says, it ain't even close to enough to just come. You need to be busy sharing the gospel. You have been equipped God has poured into you. He has taught you about His peace. He has taught you about the resurrection. And it is inside of you to share, not to sit on. He goes on to say that we have a shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. We will always be sheep. See, I think some people think if they come to Christ, they're not going to be a sheep anymore. They're just going to kind of be an angel. I don't know, be something. But we will always be sheep. That is the way God designed us. I will always need protection. I will always need somebody to provide for me. I will always need help as I approach God. Let me ask you something. Has anybody here ever kind of strayed from God? You didn't start out to do that. You just kind of got somewhere and you went, how did I end up here? This is not where I was planning to go. See, we all do that. I did it. We all drift. We all stray. I will always need a shepherd. I will always need Jesus to pull me back in, to rein me back in, to call me back in, to say, hey, well, you are mine. I died for you. Your soul was made to have a shepherd. Salvation means returning to the shepherd of your soul. That's what it means. Jesus is the one who guides and provides and protects God's people. He died for the sheep. And He did it willingly. That's exactly what Jesus says in John 10 and verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Because He laid down His life, the people now have the glorious pleasure of living in the eternal pasture of God. Now that's a pretty neat thing. Because in the eternal pasture of God in heaven, there is no tears. There are no sorrow. There is no grief. There is no hurt. There is no pain. I am able to live in the presence of God. That gulf, that distance is no longer. Jesus sacrificed His own life that I might have eternity with God. He is my shepherd. Jesus also established this covenant between God and man. Jesus establishes a covenant that we might have a relationship. What's a covenant? Anybody know? It's agreement, a promise between two people. And the new agreement between God and man has been worked out through Jesus. He provided for us a way to approach God. This means that Jesus paid my sin debt. See, without the blood of Jesus, I am never capable of approaching God. Because without the covering of His blood, I am what? I am sinful. And I can never be in the presence of a holy God. And it is only through the blood of Christ that I am able to approach God. In other words, that covering removes my sin debt, so now I have the ability to stand before God. And Jesus establishes this covenant through His blood for us that will receive Him. When He was on the cross, the veil is torn when He is crucified. I am now able to approach God. I no longer go through a priest. You know, I used to have people that would say to me, preacher, can You pray for me. I think your prayers work better than mine. And I'd say, no, I will pray with you or I will pray for you. But you need to pray. You need to approach God through Christ. As Jesus eats the Last Supper with His disciples, He says this to them in Matthew 26, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." By His death, Jesus establishes a covenant between man and God. This is huge, folks. It's now the will of God for man to approach Him through the blood of Christ. And we are only acceptable if we approach God through that blood. So this is how we're prepared. This is how we're equipped. I have a God of peace, a God of resurrection and life. I have a good shepherd. I have a shepherd that has made a covenant for me to approach God. He has equipped us to do His will. Listen to what verse 21 says. "Equip you with everything good for doing His will." Everything that He's given us. This is what the Hebrew writer has said. This God of peace. This God of the resurrection. This Jesus, this shepherd, this covenant. All of these good things are now ours through Christ, and they equip us to do His will, and He may work in us what is pleasing to Him through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the will of God is not equipped in us because we desire it, because we work on it, because we have great effort. We can try all we want to work up enough energy to do God's will, but we will never get there. Anybody ever done this? I don't like this. I know this is a sin, and I'm just going to stop. How's that work for you? I tried it. There was a time in my life when I was as addicted to smokeless tobacco as you could possibly be. And I must have quit I don't know how many times. I'd get myself all worked up, you know, and I tried quitting. I'd throw it all away, you know what I mean? That didn't work. Then I thought, well, I'll just keep a little bit. That way I won't get nervous. Because if I threw it all away, I got real nervous. Had to stop at the next store and buy some. I was having a fit. You know what I mean? Then I thought, well, I'll just keep a can with a little bit. That'll work. Then I won't get nervous about it. You know how I quit? I submitted my heart to God in that area. And I let His will work in me and equip me to do something else. I approached Him through the blood of Jesus and said, "Lord, I know that this is a sin." Now, I'm not saying, are you going to hell if you dip? Probably not. But what I'm saying is, here's the deal. I knew for me, it was hurting my witness and it needed to stop. And until you know that it's hurting your witness, you're not ready to stop. But I knew in my heart that it was hurting my witness. And I needed to stop. So I submitted my will to God and I let Him equip me. I approached God through the blood of Jesus and said, "I recognize this is a problem. I know it hurts my witness. Your will is greater than my joy. Help me." And it changed me. And it wasn't because I worked it up. It wasn't because I had it, you know, I got a patch. It wasn't because I did 50 other things. It was because I submitted my will to God and I let Him equip me to do good work in Him. Because see, it was never enough when I quit for me. I always needed to quit for Him. And please, if you're here this morning, I'm not picking on you if you do that. I'm not pointing you out. I'm just telling you the truth about how this works. Because I know it's real for us. And I know how hard it is, how hard we work to do this on our own. The will of God will only be equipped in us by God Himself. We can't work it up. God, we must yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to stir our soul that we might do what is pleasing in His sight. We can only do as He leads. What determines the energy and the power of God in our lives is our commitment to a relationship and fellowship with Him. The more I read the Word, the more time I spend in prayer, the closer I walk with God, the more energy He pours into me, and guess what? The easier it is to follow. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in the book of Philippians, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Let God work through you. This is the Hebrew writer's prayer that after all he has said to these folks, that they would be reminded that God has equipped them by planting inside of them His peace and the power of His resurrection and giving them a shepherd and a covenant to walk in with Him. That they might be equipped through the blood of Jesus to do His will. Now here comes the hard part of this whole deal. This applies directly to us. If you are here and you are a born-again believer in Jesus, the idea is that you do His will and it should start now. Not in a little bit, not in a little while, not in 3 weeks, not in 14 days, not in 4 more Bible studies. It should start now. You have been equipped with all you need to do His work. Start now. You are equipped. Do His will. Let's pray.